We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I am back to life. I've had the flu for the past week, basically. I feel like I'm somewhat back to life, but joining me right now is Kyle Porter. Kyle, you don't have the flu, do you?
No, but I'm pissed. We just taped for 25 minutes and just lost it all. So
we did. I was hallucinating on my flu meds. We did that already?
Yeah, we did already do that.
Okay.
So yeah, my bad on that. But yeah, you're back from the dead. It's good to hear you again.
I wouldn't wish the flu on my worst enemy's enemy. It's worse than I remember. You know, I had it as a kid, and obviously when you're a kid, it feels like death. But, you know, I've just been stuck at home, feeling absolutely miserable while the rest of the world continues on. It's funny, you know, people just kind of forget about you. You know, you're stuck at home. No one wants to get the flu. So you're kind of just on an island.
Yeah, you are. And it sounds great. It's kind of like retirement. Like, it sounds great. And you're just going to like hang out at home and like watch Netflix and work on your putting stroke and whatever. And then like a day in, you're like, yes, this isn't that great. Is that how it went for you?
I would compare it more to like Castaway, where I start to talk to inanimate objects. I start to lose my mind a little bit. I grew a beard. I don't have a Wilson per se, but I started talking to the lamp next to me. So, you know, I'm ready to go out in the real world and become a human being again.
You have your handprints all over the walls, like the volleyball. Well, we got a lot to talk about. A lot has happened since we last talked. But you were at the KD Love Festival last weekend, which I want to get to later on. We should start with Oklahoma State basketball, though.
Let's do it. They got a big win over TCU. I watched it from my couch amidst the flu. It was an impressive win considering, you know, it didn't look like they were going to win the game at all, Kyle, with like 2 or 3 minutes left. They were down. Nothing was going right other than Leighton Hammonds hitting some shots, and obviously Juwan Evans was a star. But it's just a yet another example of Brad Underwood finding a way to win, and that's what good coaches do on the road, specifically on the road in Big 12 play. That's a reason why, you know, Travis Ford was let go. He only won, what, 15 road games in the Big 12 play over 8 years?
Yeah.
And Underwood's already got 6. So that really speaks volumes, not only to just how good of a coach Brad Underwood is, but he just his players buying in, and he's getting every single ounce of production out of his team. Even though on a night against TCU, who I don't think is very good, they don't play that well. It doesn't look pretty, but you get the W, and really that's all that matters.
Did it feel must-winny for OSU in terms of their tournament, like getting in the NCAA tournament? Because I was there, and it felt like a must-win. It felt like they really, really needed it to pad the resume and have some breathing room for March.
It didn't feel like it in the lead-up at all, did it? But in the midst of the game, you kind of come to the realization like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a must-win, because if you lose that game, your margin for error obviously is smaller. And then you start wondering, you know, can they get into the tournament with just 7 conference wins as opposed to 8 or 9?
Yeah.
And I don't think you do. Or I think you could, but you're one of the last teams in at that point.
Right.
You don't want to be that far outside on the bubble. So
yeah.
Not leading up to it, no, but certainly, you know, 2 or 3 minutes left, just like, oh my gosh, this is dire.
Yeah, and it was a weird game because Oklahoma State, they played pretty well. They played real well in the first half. I think they shot 51% overall for the game. But they, I don't know, they had some silly turnovers. I thought Underwood was going to just commit an assault against Devon Dillard at one point. He was so mad at him. And you see flashes of like why Dillard wasn't playing for a time. But then, you know, Leighton Hammonds obviously had a great first half, and then you turn it over to Juwan late. With the Juwan thing, he took, I think, 8 of the last 11 or 12 shots, something like that, made 5 of them. But do you get not nervous, but do you get concerned that they kind of rely on him too much at the end of these games?
No, because he's unbelievably good in those situations. And I think I've kind of always been on that side of things as opposed to you guys. I remember in the Bedlam game in the second half, a lot of the guys in the Slack chat, including yourself, were just irate that it was just only Juwan. And I was like, guys, look around. No one else can hit the broadside of a barn. Juwan Evans is all they got right now. And do they rely on him too much? Maybe. But I view that very much in the same way. Does the Thunder rely on Russell Westbrook too much? Probably. But the results are there. There's a reason why you rely on those guys. They're the stars of the show. And I think Juwan Evans has proven, not only with that shot he hit against TCU, but just the way he's kind of handled games down the stretch, that's the way to go. I mean, I know you got some really good players in Jeffrey Carroll and others, but when games get down to the wire like that, it's just who can create their own shot and get it off.
Yeah.
And Juwan certainly proved he could. He left the guy on pure ice skates, went flying by. He had an easy, long two to jumper to win the game, and he did.
Yeah, that step back was, whew, it was nice. I asked Underwood about it afterwards because I was there, and I just asked him. I said, is the Juwan isolation thing, is that on purpose, or is it just kind of like when the chips are down, that's just your default? Like, that's just what you fall back on. And he said it's on purpose. He said that the way that TCU matched up, they're switching screens, and he felt like Juwan could beat all their big guys, and he did. He got a ton of layups and a ton of pretty, not easy, but close looks at the end of the game, and took advantage. You know, he was 8 for 17, but he was 5 for his last 8, and really took the game over. 6-0 run to end it, and all of a sudden they've won 4 straight Big 12 road games. They're 6-7 overall, and they've got a chance to finish with 9, maybe 10 Big 12 wins going into March. So a big one on Saturday, though. Bedlam, no Jordan Woodard for OU. I mean, it should be an easy win for OSU, right?
On paper, but it's Bedlam. I mean, last year when OU was making the run to the Final Four, no one thought OSU had a prayer, and that game came down to the final shot. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, OSU's going to win by 30. I mean, they should win the game, absolutely, but I'm not willing to just chalk it up as a win. But, back to the Juwan thing, it's very similar to what Kansas does with Frank Mason, no? I mean, when games are tight,
yeah,
they get the ball to Mason and let him go to work. So it's, if you have a point guard of that ilk, it's not the wrong move, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one thing both of those guys do really well, they're so calm. Like, there's so much chaos at the end of these games. I mean, I'm not even... We were in the media bro or whatever on Wednesday, and you're pretty far removed from the court, and it feels chaotic. Like, it feels like a whirlwind, and Juwan is just, I don't know. He's very serene. He has a very, I think, calming presence on the team, and I think him and Underwood both, and this all stems from Underwood, but they just got a lot of confidence right now. That was the other thing I asked Underwood about after the game. I sat there and I thought he was going to, stare a hole through my heart afterwards when I asked him. I said, what's the most important attribute of a team this time of year going into March? And he just looks up and just stares at me and goes, confidence. And then then he says it again, confidence. And I was like, okay, but he went on to talk about just how confident his team is right now and how tough they are. And just kind of how that builds up over the year, and we talked about this, I think it was last week, but just finding the rhythm of a season and peaking with your confidence at the end of February into March and beyond, it's super important. And I think Underwood, I think he just gets that. Like, he's just got that it factor, I feel like, as a head coach.
He does. He's very magnetic, as you got to see in his post-game comments. And it's just... And it's remarkable too, the difference when they were, they were 0-6 and just they looked completely unconfident at all. And I loved the way Underwood kind of handled that whole storm of going 0-6. And he basically just, he didn't make any excuses. He's like, look, like, no one feels sorry for us. We got to go figure this out. We have to start winning games. And that's exactly what he did. A lot of coaches will go, oh, we're really young, or oh, we led 5 of those 6 games at halftime, we're really close. He just said, no, this is terrible, this is not good enough. And I've been really impressed with how he handled that. And just, you and I talked about it when they were 0-6. You were like, you were pretty confident they could reel off some wins. I was more dubious, but hats off to him, man. They've really figured things out, and it's just a hallmark of a great coach is winning on the road. And time and time again, he's got 6 road wins now already. He's already creeping up on Travis Ford. I tweeted out after the game, Kyle, he's now 1 win shy of the career wins list at TCU, one win shy of Travis Ford. Travis went 2-2, I believe. Lost his last two.
Well, the other thing,
by the way, when TCU was one of the worst teams in the entire country, Travis Ford lost twice.
I think they beat Kansas and Oklahoma State at home. That's it.
Which is that's as big of an outlier as Ford winning and now in Fieldhouse.
Oh, it's more so. Do you remember that? Do you remember when TCU beat Kansas? I mean, that I bet Kansas.
I was at a Thunder game checking the game cast, and I thought my phone had broken. I thought it was just having a meltdown or something. This is opposite.
Well, I think Kansas was. I legitimately think they were a 35-point favorite.
Yeah, and that's bigger upsets in history. Really,
it was insane. The other thing that Underwood said after the game that I thought was interesting when you compare it to Ford was so at the end of the game after Juwan hit the step back two, TCU got the ball. Oklahoma State's up three with I don't know 9 seconds left or something. And you could see Underwood on the sideline, like, yelling foul, like, hitting his hand, like, just losing his mind, basically. And it was clear. And Hammond said this afterwards. He said, you know, we were supposed to foul. And we practiced that every day. And it was my guy that took the three. And I was just thinking, holy crap, I hope he doesn't make it because I'm going to be in so much trouble. And then we asked Underwood about it, and he said, you know, that was on me. Like, that was, you know, we work on it, and you can blame me for that. And I compared I didn't write this, but in my head, I was comparing that to, do you remember when Oklahoma State had that deal at Iowa State, and Ford, like, wanted them to foul, but they couldn't figure it out, and then he, like, kind of threw his guys under the bus afterward? Do you remember this?
Yeah, didn't, like, Naz Long hit, like, a really long three-pointer?
Yeah, he hit, like, a 28-footer or whatever.
Like, off the glass or something?
Yeah, it was absurd. But
I do remember this. What did Ford say?
Well, he just said, you know, I told him in the huddle, like, foul, you know? And whatever. Like, I'm sure you did, but it's just not the time and the place to be throwing your dudes under the bus. And I feel like stuff like that matters, you know? It matters to college players, like, that their coach is you know, takes the heat for them. And I feel like that's, you know, it's a kind of a silly reminder or whatever, but I feel like it's a big deal in thinking about just the kind of the trust and the confidence that Underwood has built up in his guys.
No, it does matter. And Underwood knows who screwed up. Hammonds knows he screwed up. But at the end of the day, Hammonds will say, wow, Coach took credit for that in the public, and that matters. That does matter. And that's one of the biggest issues I had with Ford is he never once took responsibility for anything. It was always his players' fault. It was always the fact that they were young. And so even when they were 0-6, I remember saying that, you know, Underwood took more blame for that loss. I think it was to Iowa State at home.
Yeah.
After that one game, than Ford took in 8 years, and that does matter. And I'm not just saying that just to beat up on Travis Ford some more.
Yeah.
That totally matters.
Yeah.
And it builds trust amongst your players.
Yeah.
And so it's another example of that that Underwood knows what he's doing, and that he's got the magic touch right now.
Well, and that's something that I think Underwood. I wrote this today, but Underwood has been so good at is just the intangibles, just instilling the confidence, the toughness. He talked about both of those things after the game and just how important they are. And from day one, I mean, from the first press conference he had, and not when he got hired, but in the fall, he just started pumping up his guys. You know, we love having Juwan. We love having Forte. You know, Hammonds is a great senior leader. And I think that, you know, he's hard on him for sure. I watched him be hard on Dillard. But I think there is a mutual trust there that has gotten built up over time. And I think that is, I don't know, maybe I'm being too sappy here, but I think that stuff like that matters in the culture of your team. And I especially think it matters when there's, you know, 8 top 40 Ken Pom teams in the Big 12 and you're just trying to get an edge, just anything that you can get to beat the rest of these really good teams.
Absolutely. Now, does Kim Palm rank celebrations? Because you were at the game and you said Underwood did like a Tommy Boy celebration.
He did the Tommy. So at the end of the game, again, chaotic, but Jeffrey Carroll slammed the ball on the court. It bounced up and almost hit the like the big screen over center court. Juwan jumped in somebody's arms, and then I look over at Underwood, and he is he's like halfway to shake Jamie Dixon's hand at midcourt, and he just turns around and does a like a double fist pump where he's like arching his back like he's gonna like try to rip his sports jacket. And it didn't rip, thankfully. He didn't go full Tommy Boy, which you never want to do. But it was great. He was so just fired up about the win, and I don't know. It was hilarious. It was really fun to see.
I think he did the same thing in that video that OSU basketball tweeted out when he walked in the locker room.
Yeah.
He kind of is the same kind of like the hunched over.
Yeah.
So.
And he,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
He's really like animated and talkative to the guy. I can't remember the coach's name, but their assistant that was Forte's high school coach that came from Boise. I can't remember his name, but they're the two that like they just interact all game. So I think he was doing it at him, but it looks like he was doing it to the whole bench. And of course, you know, Dizzy's over there waving his Gatorade towel and blowing on his fingers after three pointers, and I got the full Dizzy experience. It was delightful.
Before we get to our toast, Mark Rogers on the Sports Channel brought up a very fascinating point on Underwood that I hadn't even thought of. You know, they play at Kansas State on Wednesday, which you know that we know how much K-State people love Underwood, probably. Wish he was the coach instead of Bruce Weber, who now K-State's in a bit of a swoon here.
Yeah.
OSU doesn't pay Brad Underwood very much.
I know.
Is it time for OSU to either A, give him a big extension or just renegotiate his deal, give him more money? Because what if K-State comes in with, you know, double the salary and it's his alma mater?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, actually. And I had not thought of that either. What is he making? 1.2, 1.1, something like that?
It's near the bottom of the Big 12.
I think it is the bottom. I don't know if TCU and Baylor disclosed theirs, but I can't imagine that Dixon would be making – well, I know he's not making less, and Scott Drew's been there for 15 years, so I doubt that he is either. It's an interesting point. Let's just not make it 10 years this time. Like do like 4 years at like 2.1 a year? I mean, is that too much to ask for?
No. I mean, I don't know what Mike Holder has in his coffers, but I would not make it a 10-year deal, but I would make a lot of it up front. Say, here, we believe in you. Boom. Here's a big sign-on bonus, and let's lock you up before your alma mater comes calling. Because I do think if things keep moving south on Weber, they're going to have to make a move. And the first person they're calling is Brad Underwood. And they know if they want him, they're going to have to open up the checkbook. So I think he's earned a raise already in his first season.
How devastating would that be for Kansas State to swoop in and
Underwood resurrects OSU basketball and just says, guys, I love it here, but I'm going home.
That would be... That would be so brutal. But speaking of Kansas State, shout out to Coach Snyder fighting cancer. Hope the best for him. Sounds like a pretty positive prognosis so far.
I haven't followed it, but yeah, I do wish him the best. I mean, throat cancer is no joke.
Well, the thing that I wanted to bring up, there was an incredible. Did you see this tweet?
Yeah,
I want to read it because it was. It was so like it's one of the greatest tweets I've ever seen. Let me see if I can find it.
I don't know if I liked it as much as you.
Really?
Yeah. Go ahead and read it though.
Hold on. I gotta find it. What did you not like about it?
Well, I mean, it's humorous, and I don't know how much I like joking about a guy having throat cancer.
Bill Snyder could beat cancer with a walk-on oncologist, a JUCO surgeon, and an X-ray technician he converted over from a pharmacy school.
it's funny, yes.
I thought it was great, but in all seriousness, all the best to Bill Snyder. What is he, like 78, 9?
He's getting up there.
77?
I think he's 78. Let me he's 77.
77. Okay. Well, hopefully he coaches for 15 more years. Hopefully he's the first 90-year-old coach in college football history.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Okay, we got a toast. Are you ready to toast?
I think I'm ready.
Okay, it's time for the Coop Ale Works Toast of the Week. Coop Ale Works, bringing great-tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get-together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. We're going to get to the Mike Gundy video shortly, but I think you have a basketball toast to get to first.
Yeah, I wanted to toast an F5 to Leighton Hammonds, who had a career game in front of his hometown. And really a game he picked the right time for it, because if he doesn't score, you know, a season high in the first half, I don't think OSU obviously beats TCU. So Leighton Hammonds deserves an F5. At times this year, he's looked lost. At times this year, he's kind of been a forgotten guy under Underwood. And at times, I question whether he should even be playing anymore. But he really stepped up. Man, his three-point stroke, when it's on, looks – I know you've said Lindy Waters has the best-looking stroke, but Leighton's is up there. And, man, he stepped up big time. So I want to toast him.
Yeah, good for him. He's a very likable guy. Seems like a great teammate. He said after the game, you know, the points are great, but he's more concerned about defense and getting boards and getting on the floor. So pretty cool in front of – I believe it was some hometown folks. There was a lot of OSU, like parents and brothers and sisters and girlfriends. And I don't know, it was a good turnout for the orange-clad faithful in Fort Worth on Thursday or Wednesday.
Yeah, a lot of alums in Dallas, and obviously that's where all the talent is now. You know, Brad Underwood, if he wants to have more success at OSU, he has to recruit Dallas, DFW. So much talent there, and obviously TCU and OU will be camped out there as well as Kansas. So that's kind of the hub of the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, for sure. Can I toast Mike Gundy?
We need to make several toasts to Mike Gundy. let's get into it.
Okay, I'm going to toast a specific part of the singlet video. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to toast the first part. I'm going to toast a Vader, because I think Mike Gundy had a few of them before he turned around in his office desk chair and said, "Oh, I didn't know you were there." And it was the most Michael Scott-like thing I've ever seen a college football or basketball coach do. Did he not look like he was on an episode of The Office?
Yes, now that you put it that way, I thought it looked like he was in a hostage video, because it was like an extreme close up. I could see like up Mike's nose, I tweeted out a few memes with him and the Joker. That's kind of what I viewed it as. Like, it was like a scene out of The Dark Knight. Like, he was that much in character. He wanted to introduce a little anarchy into Gallagher Iba, and just, I thought his facial expressions were up there with the Joker. So that's kind of, the thought I had, but you obviously think he's Michael Scott.
Yeah. Very, very Michael Scott. Like, he's very, just kind of a parody of himself half the time, except he knows he's doing it. And Michael Scott, was just the character. Gundy's amazing. Like, he even did, there was another video that he did. They got a little bit buried, where he's waving his arms and screaming at people to come out to Gallagher Iba for the Penn State duel on Sunday, which, by the way, is going to be fantastic. They've already sold like 10,000 tickets for that. But Gundy's just, I don't know. You said that you thought he might show up for the duel in like his Midwest City Bombers like headgear and stuff.
Well, this is before the video came out. Like, I thought that was on the table before I saw this video. I thought, you know, it appears Gundy doesn't, like, shop for clothes. Like, at the duel on Sunday, he was wearing just an OSU football long sleeve and a Stillwater High School football hat. It's like, he just wears team-issued gear. So yeah. I thought he'd be so into this wrestling that he was going to go back into the back of his closet, go find his old Midwest City Bomber hoodie and sweats, and maybe even his old headgear with, you know, his old number on the side, and wear it to the duel, and like maybe even like jog around with the team on the mat before they actually started the duel.
Yeah, I mean, he already had. Did you see, somebody pointed this out, but he had a photo of himself from his Midwest City Wrestling days on his desk.
Well, that's what I wanted to give a toast to.
Okay.
I have so much to talk about into toast. Can we just go down the list? So I want to toast the DNR to, first of all, I want to crack a DNR, and I want to grab the Big Daddy coffee mug and pour the DNR into the Big Daddy mug and just hand it back to Mike and say, "You've earned it, Big Daddy. You deserve all the DNR." How about the Big Daddy mug making another appearance, Kyle?
Well, So I exchanged a few messages with our guy, Todd Munkin, after that, the singlet, because he tweeted about the singlet video. And
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Our guy, Todd Munkin, I didn't know you, like, texted each other.
Well, it was Twitter, but.
Well, I didn't know you guys DM'd on the side.
Well.
That's impressive. Todd Munkin's a favorite. Are we going to get him on the podcast?
I don't know. Maybe we should. But I was kind of talking to him about OSU's new coaches that they hired, Josh Henson and John Wozniak. And he told me about him a little bit. Then he said, neither of them can sport that wrestling outfit like their boss, though. So he was delighted at Mike Gundy's antics on Twitter.
We have to get Todd Munkin on the podcast. That's all I can think about.
You're reeling right now.
Yeah, like that. That's you've dropped the ball here. Like we. Okay.
By the way,
back to more matters at hand.
Hold on. How did we not? We gotta back up. Let's get to this week's uniform review, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy.
I thought we were doing the toast.
Your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. Be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We're reviewing the singlet. We're talking about the singlet right now.
Okay. I can't even keep up. My head's spinning.
That's our uniform review for the week.
Okay. Well, I'm not even to the singlet yet, but we'll review the singlet here in a second. More of the uni review is, how about Gundy? I've always seen this gold chain sticking out of his polo at press conferences. I've always kind of seen it at games. Like, I've always kind of wondered, like, what is on the end of that gold chain? And then it was laid bare in this video. What? I still don't even know what it is. It's like a gold medallion of some type. Is it like a lion? I need to go back to the video and watch it. But I was just mesmerized by the Big Daddy gold chain. The fact that he wears one. And then it's even more intricate than I thought. So I want to toast that too.
It looks like, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. It could be like it was in their gift bag from like the Fiesta Bowl. Like it could be like a Tostitos logo or something. I know Southwell loved the gold chain. That was, I think that was his favorite part of the whole deal. And it's amazing. Like it's,
I mean, this is like borderline like a rapper status here. The medallion's so big. I don't even know. I still can't. I have it pulled up right now, and I still.
I do too. I was trying to zoom in, and I can't figure it out.
All right, one more thing before we get to the singlet was, you mentioned the photo of him like kind of standing there as a high school wrestler. Did you notice the one to the right where it's him winning a tournament and he has this massive bracket that he's holding?
Yes, I see it.
Like that. Like that's how it works, and you know, wrestling. When you win, you get the bracket. So it's a picture of Gundy, probably in like 10th grade, 9th grade, with a bracket that's like two stories tall below him.
Yeah, it's like taller than he was. There's also so he's got a kind of a desk ornament that says "It is what it is."
Right, I noticed that too.
Which is great. He's got a. Sign. He's got a handwritten note from his kids in the. I presume it's his kids in the background, on the back of his desk that says "Happy Birthday, Big Booty Daddy."
So I missed that.
Yeah, Gundy's got a lot of like, kind of strange nicknames apparently. I think that's what it says. Yeah, big booty dad.
I'm looking at a football and it has OU with the number 35 next to it. Did OSU beat them when OU scored 35 points? Oh, that has to be Bedlam, right? The Bedlam, the Rashawn Woods game.
No, that was the Tyreek game.
Oh, was it?
The Rashawn Woods game was 16-13.
No. The rematch, the second one, where OSU, Rashawn's still open game.
Oh, that might have been 30, Stillwater. That might have been 38-35 also.
Yeah, I think that's it.
But I'm pretty sure that was for the Tyreek.
I don't know. Do we need to add "it is what it is" to the bingo card? Yeah. I don't remember him saying it all that much.
It's pretty good.
I mean, that's one of the worst cliches there is.
Well, it's but from him, it's pretty hilarious.
Right. Okay, I'm good. You want to review the singlet now?
Yeah, the singlet is. I mean, he definitely like wears that around the house, right?
He does now. He probably hasn't taken it off since the shoot. Like anything's on the table for Sunday, right? Like he has to at least like take the mat for warmups.
He's gonna come out in like a full hood, like Rocky all of the Rockies with just the robe like down to his ankles, just shadow boxing. Like I don't know, Dez is in town apparently. I saw on Twitter, so maybe they'll get out there and mix it up before the duel on Sunday.
Well, this is just an aspect of Gundy we haven't really delved into. Is his, you know, we've kind of known that he wrestled, but only really in like the last, you know, couple of weeks he's been at the duels. Like his love of wrestling has come to the forefront.
Yeah, he's all about it. There's I made a GIF of him like going crazy at the Iowa duel. Like
it's really cool
standing and up and just fist pumping and just, yeah, he's into it. The mullet. I mean, he's full, like when he's at the duel with the mullet, like fist pumping, that's full Oklahoma. Like that is all Oklahoma.
Well, and how about him like in the promo saying coached by the two greatest American wrestlers alive or whatever the hell he said. Like he knows his history too, you know, Cale Sanderson against John Smith. So it's, Gundy could not be more OSU. Like,
no.
OSU wrestling is like as steeped in OSU as any other athletic program they have. And I actually think like if they go on to win the national championship, like Gundy will like present the banner to Smith to raise at the Gallagher Iba. Like he might be involved in some way.
I love that Underwood comes too, by the way. Like he seems into it as well.
Yeah, like he wrestling seems like right up his alley as far as like the mentality and everything. So, and good for the wrestling program, man. They don't get much recognition. They don't get those big of crowds anymore. Yeah. It's really, I'm sure they're just overjoyed with Mike Gundy doing this, because how many coaches in the country would be willing to put on a wrestling singlet and promote the wrestling program? Like it's really cool that he did it.
Do you think Nick Saban would do that?
Absolutely not. You think Bob Stoops would do that?
No.
Yeah,
you know who would, and I wish that it would have happened. I don't know if LSU has a wrestling program, but
Les.
Oh yeah,
Harbaugh would do it.
yeah, Harbaugh would do it, but it would. Yeah, well,
Harbaugh's mad he didn't think of this first, actually.
Yeah, Gundy's like a kind of like a low key like marketing genius, isn't he? I mean, I know he's not the one like necessarily coming up with these ideas, but his execution over the past, well, a really decade has been just flawless.
No, he's awesome. And I don't think coaches or a coach like him even would do this if he didn't think his team was going to be really, really, really good next year.
Yeah.
Because you've seen Gundy in the past when, like, before, like, the 2014 season, he was, like, really reserved.
Yeah.
Didn't want to say a lot. He kind of knew that things were not going to go as planned.
He knew that Dak's backup plan was
well, yeah, and just the team in general. And I think he knows his 2017 team's going to be an ass kicker. So I think he's kind of unhinged a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, I love it. Okay, what else do we need? You want to talk top five dunkers?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. But first, let's hear one more time from our sponsor this week, Chris's University Spirit.
Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop Cowboys shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head to toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit.
Okay, top five dunkers. Devon Dillard says he's number one.
Slow down, young fella.
Yeah, I love Devon, but easy there, big dog. It's
no, and like he's had what, three dunks that are like some of the best dunks we've ever seen. I don't want to discredit him, but
yeah, I mean I would say like three of the top 50 dunks in OSU history. 100, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe top 20. I mean, yeah. Maybe top 30. I don't know. There's been a lot of good dunks over the years, yeah. But I can't put him ahead of either Joey Graham, Markell Brown, or Desmond Mason.
I agree.
Those three for me are the big three.
Well, just quantity. Like let's build up your resume to have more than like, you know, three that we can actually remember.
Right.
I actually looked up a while ago some other like kind of forgotten great dunkers in recent OSU history. Do you want to hear the list and tell me if you think they're better than Devon?
Yeah.
Okay. First we got Nolan Cox.
did he have a dunk in his career?
He tied Dez in a intramural slam dunk contest one time.
Dez Bryant.
That's a true story. That's the day I met him. Not Dez, but Nolan.
That has to be in like the first paragraph of his bio.
It was like a legit dunk contest. Like Dez was like, it was, the whole thing was crazy. It was in Gallagher, Iowa. It was nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Stevie Graham.
Nah. Well, I can't remember a single dunk.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like he had more memorable dunks in the NBA than he did at Oklahoma State.
Well, it's crazy. He had a longer NBA career than Joey, which,
yeah,
that's Stevie's the one player that Eddie couldn't ever quite solve. He could not. He never got out of him what he probably should have.
Tony Allen.
You and I have discussed him in the past. Yeah. And it got our boy Nate fired up.
Yeah.
I think you probably said it best. Like I said he wasn't quite on Desmond, Markell, even Dillard's athleticism level. And then I got sent like a bunch of people sent me all the YouTube clips of him dunking for the Celtics, which he had some great dunks for the Celtics. But did he do that at OSU? I don't. He had some good dunks. But I think you nailed it when you said Tony Allen was an underrated dunker. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But I would not put Tony above. I thought Joey on his own team was a better dunker. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know, like height wise, like Joey was big. Joey was like 6'9" and Tony, what is Tony? Like 6'6", 6'7", 5?
Tony's like 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, is he that short?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, he's 6'4".
The height thing kind of, it doesn't ruin it for me, but it certainly lessens it for me with Joey. But he still had some awesome dunks. I would put Joey ahead of Tony.
Yeah.
If only for that Memphis dunk.
I know.
I mean, my gosh. And was it an A&M dunk that he had?
Yeah, I think he got called back.
I think he like killed someone in College Station.
He committed a homicide and they called charging, which was one of the bigger robberies of the century. It's still on YouTube. It's like a grainy YouTube clip.
Yeah, watch it. I think I made a GIF of it and it looked like it was in like, it looked like a Nintendo game or like an Atari game because it was so grainy.
So would you have Dillard ahead of Tony Allen?
No, again, just because of quantity.
Okay. Well, my point on Dillard was I think any of the dunks we've seen already is maybe more memorable than any dunk that Tony ever had.
Yeah.
Somebody, and I hate arguing it's Tony. Like, Tony's my guy. I think he's, like, number one all time as far as, like, production and everything.
Okay, my next one is Janava Weatherspoon.
Underrated.
Yes.
I meant to bring him up last time we talked. He was only, like, what, 5'11"?
He was small.
But he could slam.
Yeah.
No, I like that pick.
This other guy that I thought of that is he wasn't a great dunker at Oklahoma State, but he was in high school, and that's TC, Terrence Crawford.
Yeah. He's from my neck of the woods, so I remember him in high school.
He was, like, super athletic in high school. And then did he tear his ACL or something?
Yeah, he had a really bad knee injury, I think, in high school.
Yeah.
And he obviously, I think he did it again in college and just was never quite as athletic as he was back then. But, man, he's one of the all-time great high school players to ever come out of Oklahoma. He was unbelievable.
We need to get him on a podcast. I wonder what he's doing.
That's a good question. I don't know what he's doing.
We got our podcast guest lined up for like the next two
Todd months. Munkin, TC, yeah. I'm ready.
Okay, my last one is, people don't remember this because he transferred. I think he was there 1 year, maybe two. Torrey Johnson.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He could have been top five all time if he had stayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a few of those like alley-oop two-handed.
From the baseline.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He had some big ones.
Yeah. Those non-conference games against like Northwestern State, he had a he had a few just monster dunks, and you began to wonder like what his ceiling was as a player.
Yeah. So those were my guys that I thought of. Dillard, I think as long as he's there all 4 years, I think he'll go down in the top four or five if he's not already there. I mean, who knows? We're arbitrarily ranking all-time Oklahoma State dunkers. I mean, I don't even know what that means. But right. you got some work to do to catch Markel and Desmond and even Joey.
Yeah, right. And I mean, Desmond won an NBA dunk contest. It's hard to even like begin the discussion with him. And I did want to bring up between like Markel and him, like Desmond was like in our wheelhouse, like right when we were the perfect age when we thought guys were superhuman, and we'll probably always look more fondly on his dunking career at OSU and then throw in the fact he won an NBA dunk contest. But man, when you go up and down Markel's top 10 dunks, in game, he was doing like dunk contest dunks in game.
Yeah.
Like it's like, if you actually like put the tail of the tape out, like Markel actually might beat Desmond. I know that's blasphemy to say.
No, I think I finally admitted that like Markel's senior year, like after the Missouri dunk that he had and like
he the dunked 360, like,
yeah, he had a couple on, it might've been at Missouri a couple years before. Do you remember the one at home against Missouri when he got thrown out?
Yeah,
that dunk.
That was the best one.
That might be the best dunk in Oklahoma State history. That was a joke. But he had a couple at Missouri. I think it was at Missouri, like two in like the first 2 minutes of a game there one time that were like all over, dude. I mean, he dunked on people. It was awesome.
He's the reason Missouri left the Big 12. But no, like I love Desmond. He's probably my all-time favorite. Yours too, I know. Yeah. But man, if we one of these days we'll have to put the tail of the tape out there. The problem is we don't have the video library from Desmond's days.
I know. Clips. It is funny. Like you go back and look at just any YouTube clips from like even like 06, and you're like, this looks like the 70s. Like when did HD get invented? Like what's going? Like why does this look so bad? Like I'm always like trying to find old Tiger stuff for golf, and anything of his like before 2007, you're like, holy cow, this looks like a, you know, last century.
No, I know. When we're pulling up old Bedlam football stuff, when Bedlam comes around from like 08, it looks like it's from 1988.
I wanted to ask you real quick. I want to talk about KD at the very end, but real quick, I compared Mike Gundy to Eddie Sutton in my last recruiting post. I said he's the Eddie Sutton of OSU football. And somebody vehemently disagreed with that. And I think Mike Gundy's going to go down as a better coach than Eddie Sutton at Oklahoma State. Where do you stand on that?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. A better version of Eddie Sutton. Now, what are you comparing? The fact that he didn't recruit – you know, five-star talent and still produced? Yeah. Are you comparing just overall success in the Big 12 and nationally?
Yeah, just success in the Big 12 and nationally.
Well, I do think, you know, it's Eddie made two Final Fours. So what would the equivalent of that be? Two BCS wins for Mike Gundy? Or just BCS appearances? I mean, making a Final Four in basketball is ungodly hard.
Well, I think Oklahoma State already made one Final Four in football, effectively. I mean, they finished in the top four.
Right, when they went to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, so now it's getting in the playoff. But before, getting in a – I don't know. I think just finishing the regular season ranked in the top four, I think that's sort of the equivalent.
Okay. Well, I think Mike's got some work to do. I mean, Eddie made two Final Fours.
Yeah, but Eddie only won one Big 12 title.
That's true. I mean, that's kind of the hidden – thing on his resume is he didn't win the league a whole bunch. Now, he was also going up against Missouri at the height of their power and obviously Kansas.
Yeah.
But you could argue Mike Gundy's going against OU, yeah. Which is OU in football is as good as any sport, any collegiate program in the country, any sport.
Yeah.
And it's in his backyard. So
I just think that
I would say when it's all said and done, Mike will probably have the better resume,
yeah.
But he doesn't yet, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it's certainly I think that people remember Eddie differently than he actually was. I mean, don't get me wrong, like amazing coach, but one Big 12 title, like that's a real thing. And people, I think if you ask like a random OSU fan, they would say he won like two or three or maybe four.
Now, well, how many Big 8 titles did he win? You got to count those too.
Yeah, I don't know.
He won the Big 8 tournament in 95, won the Big 12 regular season in 04, won the tournament in 04 and 05. I don't think he won the Big 8 regular season. He won the Big 8 regular season in 92, which was his first year, and 95, the year they went to the Final Four.
So that's, yeah, there you go. That's fair.
I mean, he won the freaking Big 8 his first year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
To the Sweet 16 his first year. Yeah. How many Sweet 16s does he have? Let's see here. I don't have it in front of me.
I would say six.
I mean, is Eddie remembered probably more fondly than his resume? I mean, he's the most beloved coach probably in OSU history, so maybe yes. But I also do think his resume is pretty salty.
Yeah. No, it is. And the Big Eight. Conference wins are a good point. I didn't know he had two. I would have thought just maybe one.
And I guess question I have for you is, how do you see the latter half of Gundy's career playing out? Because you've written a bunch of columns lately on the recruiting not being where it needs to be, and even in the Big 12 is just so down.
Yeah.
Is Mike gonna get on Eddie's level? I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think he coaches 10 more years, something like that. Maybe 12, maybe 8. I don't know. And I think that it goes pretty similarly to the last like 5 or 6, to where you're playing for Big 12 titles in, you know, once every 2 years or 3 years or sometimes back-to-back years or whatever. You might make a playoff one. I don't think you're going to make multiple. And I guess my point there is I don't think they're going to get on the recruiting level of OU and Clemson and teams like that for various reasons. People can read the stuff that I wrote. And that's fine. I think that people sort of misunderstood what I was writing. Like, I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. I just think that you got a real opportunity right now. You're becoming, and you have become a national brand, and you can kind of break into that, you know, that elite recruiting type group nationally. I think you can, and I don't know if they're going to. So I think if you don't, I think you're going to kind of stay where I think you're bumping up against your ceiling, and will be there for the next, you know, however long Gundy is in Stillwater.
That's interesting. No, it's an interesting question, and it's a fascinating one. I'm interested to see how it plays out. You know what? We're 50 minutes in, Kyle. We haven't even discussed Trae Young.
Or Kevin Durant.
Or Kevin.
You're Kevin Durant'd out. I'm Trae Young'd
out. I'm KD'd out, man.
I'm TY'd out.
Well, it's news, isn't it, that he committed to OU today?
I shout out to whoever called me out on when we did our predictions on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I said OU was 70%, and this person said I was a lunatic, and there you go, going to OU. Are you surprised that he's going to OU?
No, I've kind of thought that for a while now, basically because, you know, it's a hometown school, and I think Trae Young is he's one of the bigger like high school stars I've seen as far as just the notoriety. And I think he likes that. And I think he kind of wanted to go into a situation where he can kind of shoot it whenever he wants, shoot as much as he wants, and be kind of the star of the show. And I think that's perfect at OU with how down they are. You combine the fact that it's his hometown. He can go in there and play right away. I think that was too much to ignore.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think everybody thinks that it came down to OU and Kansas. And I mean, the reality is you go to Kansas and you're one of a handful, if not more, of big time guys. And I think that's a good thing. It's certainly a good thing for Kansas's basketball program, but I think you're right. Like, he likes being like the Blake Griffin type, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just think that I don't know, it fit his and they need somebody. Like, Jordan Woodard's gone, and Trey Young has a chance to be a star, if not a superstar, in his first year in Norman.
Yeah, and I think Brad Underwood and them did a really good job recruiting him. I think they made his top three, which, when you consider his dad went to Texas Tech and Kentucky was recruiting him, that's no small potatoes. So yeah. I think OSU did a good job recruiting him. But I also think Trey Young looked at it. They have Cam McGusty, who's a very young player who looked awesome in Bedlam, and Cameron Doolittle, who also looks really good. So there's a lot of potential there too in Norman. It's not just a case of him going, well, I can go shoot 30 times a game.
Yeah.
I think he saw some young talent he can play with.
Yeah.
And I think he made a pretty good choice for him. I mean, if I was making the decision, you know, I'm not Trey Young, but it'd be hard to go to Allen Fieldhouse and not want to go play there. That's just, I've been there before. It's a religious experience. Those basketball players are treated like they're movie stars up there. It'd be really hard for me to turn that down, but you know, I'm not from Norman and I'm not Trey Young.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, like, just reading what he's said and reading between the lines, like, his whole deal is about getting to the NBA. Right. And it seems like I don't know with chances, but it seems like Kansas is the better place to do that than OU. I'm not saying OU is a bad place for it, but it just, I mean, you've seen Andrew Wiggins, you've seen several guys at KU go on to play in the NBA quickly. And so I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised from that sense that he didn't go there.
Blake Griffin and Buddy Hield say hello.
Blake Griffin, well, yes.
Those are two lottery picks.
Yeah,
in the last,
but they both stayed.
10 years.
Buddy Hield, 4-year guy. How long was Griffin there?
Two.
He was only two. I thought he was three. Okay.
Nah, yeah. Freshman.
No,
left
I know. I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you can't go to OU and go to the NBA. I'm just saying that there's more of a pattern of it happening at KU.
Wayman Tisdale says hello. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Do you want to talk KD?
Eduardo Nahara. Yeah, let's talk Kevin.
Hold on. Apparently there was a.
Uh-oh. What do you see?
Gundy just tweeted a picture of Dez and his son Gandalf hanging out.
Gandalf Gundy. No. This is Gunner. This is the heir apparent. Gandalf's the middle one.
Oh, Gandalf's the other one. Okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay. KD.
I was there.
Yeah. Just what was your experience like being there? Was it as crazy as it seemed on TV? Me and Mrs. Pistol sat down to watch it on Saturday night, and she was kind of amused by the whole thing, and I was kind of amused by it as well, but it seemed pretty intense.
It was intense, and it was every bit as crazy as, you know, I kind of thought it would be, maybe even more so. Like, the cupcake signs and the chants kind of took on a life of its own. There was an actual little girl dressed as a cupcake that, like, followed Kevin up and down the hallway, which was like one of the funnier things I'd seen on Twitter in a long time. But more than anything, Kyle, it was just kind of sad. You know, Kevin is an icon in Oklahoma. And, you know, I've done a million shows on the radio and stuff. People ask me, well, how in the world could the great people of Oklahoma boo Kevin after all he did? And my point is, Kevin gave them no choice. Like, to join the Golden State Warriors, the team that you just fought for a 7-game series that was set up to be your rival for the next 5-7 years, set up to be one of the better NBA rivalries in history. For you to join them after you shot 32% in the final three games, let your team down, and it's basically the reason you lost, and then to join them, it just, and then you throw that in there, and then you throw in the fact the way he left. He's made zero effort to smooth things over with Oklahoma City, with the franchise, with his teammates. Didn't even call Russell. Like, just he's handled it so poorly. So when you throw in the fact the way he handled it and the team he joined, I don't think he gave the fans in the arena any other choice but to boo. And I don't think they want to boo Kevin. They don't hate Kevin. They absolutely hate the decision, and it's clear his teammates do not respect it.
Yeah,
because even they got after him. Like Russell, like that's the big, like everyone's like, oh, why won't Russell talk to Kevin? Well, Russell has zero respect for Kevin.
Yeah,
as a competitor, like how could you to join the Warriors? This would be like Reggie Miller joining the Knicks at the height of their rivalry. This would be like Paul Pierce joining the Lakers when they were battling for titles every year.
But he
upped and joined the rival.
Do you think that the Thunder-Warriors rivalry was that? I mean, was it that much?
Yes. Okay. Did you watch the series?
Well, yeah.
Draymond Green kicked Stephen Adams in the nuts.
Well, Draymond Green kicks everybody
twice.
In the nuts.
Like, that's the team the Thunder hated. Like, Draymond Green was like public enemy. Draymond Green got his boos were as loud as Kevin's on Saturday. That's how reviled that guy is. And Kevin said, I'm going to play with that guy.
Yeah.
So like, it was really sad that like, you know, Kevin, like years from now, people will get over it and he'll get his number retired and everyone will remember the good old days. But Saturday was a day to tell Kevin that they hated the decision and they hated the way he handled it.
Yeah.
Now, I thought Kevin handled Saturday pretty well other than getting into it with Robertson and Russell, which was awesome. But I thought Kevin, you know, he hits the dagger. He could have really kind of hammed it up when he hit the dagger, and he was pretty low key about the whole thing. So I thought Kevin handled himself where he could have really incited a riot if he wanted to, and he kept it low key.
Yeah, and so two things here. I thought that OKC Day brought up a really good point on Twitter, and that was that, you know, anybody saying like, oh, they shouldn't have booed him, they should have done that, they should have done that, whatever. Like, yeah, maybe I agree with that or whatever, but. Like, since when is logic part of sports? Like it's illogical to even care about sports. So, like, what, like that got thrown out the window a long time ago. And so, yeah, like I totally get the booing and whatever. And I think and hope you're right that eventually that he gets his number retired and he gets, you know, all the, and Nolan Cox brought this up on Twitter also. Like, KD did a lot for OKC. Like, not just the franchise, but the city also. And like, when he was there, he was in, like, and it was real. Like, it would, you know, like, I get that he's moved on, but like, he wasn't, you know, faking all that. Like, that was a real thing. And I hope that people, and I think that people get that. I just think that it was their time to boo him and to let out all that emotion. I was trying to think of an Oklahoma State equivalent. Like, what would the OSU equivalent be of this? And the best one I could come up with is Mike Gundy leaving for Texas to coach at Texas. Like, I don't think it would be him going to OU. Like, it didn't feel that, and maybe it would, I don't know. Like, but I feel like Oklahoma State and Texas is a distant enough rivalry that it's not, like, I never felt like the Thunder Warriors rivalry was the same as, like, rivalries in pro sports are much different, right? Like, they're not the same. And so I feel like the Texas OSU thing is more equivalent to Thunder Warriors than OSU OU would be.
I disagree.
You think it's Bedlam?
What?
The Thunder Warriors.
It was set up to be that. Yeah, this was set up to be, Kyle, like the rivalry for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, they were going to meet in the Western Conference Finals every year.
But how do you think OSU fans would receive Gundy if he left for Texas?
Oh, you get booed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that would be like Gundy leaving OSU to go to Texas is like LeBron leaving Cleveland.
Yeah.
And coming back home. Like that's a whole another like, that's a whole another layer of
like
of
I would just
vitriol.
I would not be mad. Like, good for you. Like, you got the best job in the country. Well, it's not the best job in the country, but you got one of the best jobs in the country. Like, good for you.
Like, you would stand and applaud his return.
Well, I can't because I'm part of the media, but yeah. Yeah, I would.
Well, the whole cheering and booing thing, like, it was just insulting for me as like an Oklahoman. Like, the national media talking down to Oklahomans, like, you silly little Okies, you were so lucky to have Kevin. You should just cheer him because you were so lucky to have him. Like, imagine Paul Pierce coming back to Boston as a Laker during the height of their rivalry. Would they be telling Boston, the people of Boston, oh, you guys had such great time with Paul Pierce. He played for you for 11 years. Like, you should just cheer him. Absolutely not. They just, the way they talk down to Oklahomans, like, oh, you silly Okies, you should just cheer because you were lucky to have Kevin. Like, yeah. That part was just totally insulting. No other city, no other fan base in the world would have cheered him.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think you're right about that part being.
And here's my other point, though, Kyle. Like, I mean, you mentioned Nolan. Nolan was tweeting out all sorts of hot takes about Kevin. And he and I got into it a little bit. And the point I made to him was, and Matt Emilian and I texted about this too. We agree. He picks any other team. I think the boos are significantly less. He might even get cheered if he goes anywhere other than Golden State. If he just said, I'm going to Washington or Boston, and I just, look, I want to do something different. I'm starting my own team. I'm going this way. Like, people would totally get that. But to join a 73-win super team that you should have beaten, like that, he picks any other team, you don't see near the scene that we saw on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I mean any other team. Even Cleveland. Which,
ooh, I don't know about that.
Maybe besides Cleveland. You join LeBron, then you're really just coattailing. But he's already coattailing in Golden State. But if he picks any other team, any of them, I think he gets cheered for, you know, okay, Kevin just, he wanted to leave. We get it.
Yeah.
But this is just a total ring grab, and he doesn't even have the stomach to say it. He keeps this narrative alive that, oh, I just kind of like the way Steph and Clay walked into the room. Were they holding hands? What? I just kind of like those guys. No, Kevin, just call it what it is, man. Just if you'd just been honest, said, look, it's year 10. I'm getting antsy. I have to win a ring. This basically insures it. I think even if he said that, people would kind of, you know, understand where he's coming from. But he's handled it so poorly.
Yeah, I agree with that part for sure. Well, we could talk about this for like another hour, but we've already gone.
We need to do like a special pod with Nolan where Nolan can tell me how Oklahoma was just it's a terrible place to live, and that's why Kevin left.
Well, I'd have to like referee that. Like, I wouldn't even get any words in.
Oh yeah, like Nolan immediately played the, well, I'd rather live in San Francisco than Oklahoma too. Like, he just threw that out right away, which was just nonsense. So maybe we need to do an off-brand pod where it's just three-man weave, you mediating, me and Nolan.
Yeah, I would be the. I don't know who I would be in that scenario. Who's somebody in Travis Ford's offense that just never shot? Like, he just passed it.
Anthony Hickey?
Well, yeah, he shot a lot though. Okay, we got anything else on Oklahoma State? What are you doing this weekend? Are you back at work?
I'm hopefully back to work tomorrow. You know, the flu has knocked me down a peg or two, but I should be back at it on Friday. Obviously, I won't be able to cover Bedlam. I'll be in studio, but I'll be watching that pretty closely.
Yeah, should be fun. Should be rowdy, and should be a good weekend to be at Gallagher Iba Arena.
Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned on Sunday to see if Gundy shows up in a singlet for OSU Penn State wrestling. We'll have to recap both. We'll have to recap the basketball game and the wrestling.
Yeah, and Gundy's outfit.
And we always have to recap that. We'll see if he wears the Carhartt jacket with the singlet underneath.
Okay, Carson, we'll talk to you later.
All right, man.
Bye.